Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome everybody. We'll start again from the beginning of chapter 65. Fascinating chapter because we often complain about Hashem, but we never hear His complaint back. In other words, we always say, Hashem, why don't you listen? We need your help. You know, what do we do to deserve this, right? So we never get to hear what the response is. And so now here Hashem gets equal time. And He answers the prophet, why did I allow this to happen? Where were you, Hashem? So Hashem says, I was right there. And so let's see what He says. Nidrashti lo shalom. He said, Hashem says, I'm seeking people who didn't call me. They didn't ask. They didn't. People aren't looking for me, but I'm looking for them. Nimsesi, I've been found there for people that are not searching for me. Amarti, and Hashem says, here I am. Here I am. I'm here. I'm your God. I'm your Father in heaven. I'm here to help you and to love you and to give to you. El goylo, and no one's calling. They often refer to this as like the synagogue where people don't show up. You know, Hashem is here at the house of prayer, but there's nobody's asking. Parashi yedek kol hayam. And Hashem says, I'm extending my hand to you every single day, and what do? I'm so rare. You're turning the other way. The people are turning the other way. And where are they going? Holchan haderech lo tof. They're going on a way that's not good. Many different ways, but it's not good. Achem achshoseichem. And they're going after their thoughts. People have unusual imaginations. They think of all kinds of strange things. I do what I wanted to do. You have to be very careful with your thoughts. It says, "Lo sasuru, do not go after levavchem, your heart and your eyes." Sometimes people see certain. You know, they get enticed. They see someone else has something that they want, so they go after it. They're jealous. Or they see something of beauty, and they a person has to be careful to go after their thoughts. They have to say, "Well, what's the proper thing? I'd like to do this, but I can't do it. I'm not, you know." But the people were going in an improper way. Verse 3: the people, they're constantly getting me angry, and not only do they not serve me, but they're going and they're doing strange things. They're worshiping strange gods. Zofkin begagos, beganos, the makachin alavanim. They're offering incense. They're worshiping. Verse 4: Hayoshim bekfarim, and they go into the cemeteries. The menitzurim yelinu, and they sleep overnight. Ochlin batzer chazir. They eat pig meat. Uparik pegulim. People will do bizarre things in the name of religion. In they just are seeking out impure things or strange things. This is like the extreme, to go to a cemetery. We have, you know, the same people that they're Jewish people that went after the cults. They were very high in the Hare Krishna and other things, and it's so bizarre. You know, here Judaism, which is their religion, and they're going after these bizarre things and other types of strange services, and that's what Hashem describes them. Now there's another thing which is fascinating also. We have people that some people worship strange gods, and some people, their strange god is them. They worship themselves. They think they're holier than thou. They say, don't touch me, ki kadashticha, I'm holier than you. We have these different sects that consider themselves more pious than everybody else, and they wouldn't touch people, and they would live separate, and they had all kinds of strange... The Essenes, I think they were called?
Essenes.
Early Christians and other groups. Mm-hmm. They just invented things where these were not services that Hashem asked from us. There's been a little discussion about a group in Canada. I don't know firsthand, but I've been reluctant to talk about it because I don't know firsthand. But what they're accused of is being an extremist... it happens to be their observance. But they wear the women don't just cover their hair. They wear the Arab Hajj, whatever the whole whenever somebody separates themselves from others and there is something about it's good for people to try to do things to come near Hashem and to be very pious. But if a person starts thinking he's better than others, that's not a feeling that Hashem wants. That's not holiness. Hashem says arrogance is like idol worship. Because if you think you're better, that means you're worshiping yourself. We don't see ourselves that way. We feel humbled by the kindness that Hashem does for us. And sometimes people want to do different things that work for them. That's fine. But they don't look down on others. They don't separate themselves from the community. People have to be very careful with that. So he's somehow describing, he says these people, they stay away from me. Don't come near me. I'm holier than you. You know, no matter what form of Judaism you practice, you have to be careful if a person has that kind of attitude. Ashen ba'api. These people, they're smoking my nose. Eshuk has kolayom. It's an interesting expression. Usually smoke means something that's like vapor, that like vanishes, or Hashem gets angry with that. He makes subulafana eloashe. It's written in front of me, and I can't be quiet. In other words, for these actions, ki im shalamti v'shalamti al chekam. Those people that have sinned and sinned against others, and they're going to get what they've deserved. Your sins and the sins of your forefathers, the sins that you've repeated, Hashem says, "Hashakitru al ahorim, you did the incense on the mountains, valagavos in the valleys, hechafuni umudos epolosim, and they blasphemed Hashem, and they turned towards other things." Rishona al-Chekam. In other words, the people invited a punishment. They invited Hashem's anger. And so that's why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. That's why there was an exile. There are a lot of people that just, Hashem was begging them, seeking them out, searching for them, trying to reach them, and they went away from that. So that's why bad things had to happen. But this is the good news, verse 8. Kalamar Hashem Kashi Matza Tirish Be'eshkol. When you find sometimes after the pruning and after the harvesting of grapes, you can always find another cluster, which means there's always some good grapes left. So Hashem says, there are those that have sinned and gone on a different path and are lost, but Hashem will find the cluster. He will find the good sweet grapes left. So Omar, and a person shall say, Al Tashkisu. Whatever is left, the remnant of Jewry that's left, will not be destroyed. Ki brachobo, because there's a blessing in it. Kain Esa Laman Abdi, I'll do that for the sake of my servant. Vabilti Hishkis Hakol. There will always be a remnant. We lived through a Holocaust in our time, you know, where Hashem's anger was at. Hashem was angry with our people, there's no question about that. He left a remnant, and he blessed the remnant. We now have a state of Israel, and that's a certain pattern in history that the prophet is describing. That there is a certain pattern of history where we've had terrible decrees, the destruction of the temple, the expulsion from Spain, the pogroms, and after those decrees, the remnant, if the decrees would continue consistently, we wouldn't still be here. After the decrees, Hashem reaches out to the remnant and allows them to rebuild. And verse 9, Votzeitzi miYaakov Zera, and Hashem says, I'm going to find descendants of the Jews, so may Yehuda Yorish, and there'll be descendants from Yaakov, and there'll be descendants from Yehuda, and these descendants will have grandchildren. They'll have Jewish grandchildren. That's what it means. Yorish means that they'll bequeath it to future generations. Vishu bechire v'avada yishkinu shamba, and they will dwell over here, and Israel will become repopulated. V'hayu asharon lenova, and it'll be beautiful stone. There'll be flocks and sheep and blessing. Ve'imachachor le'revitz bakar, and you'll see lots of cattle. The people, the land will be repopulated, and it'll be fertile. Asher deshuni, and it'll go to those that seek me out. V'atem. Now, what about you? What about even at that time when Hashem reaches out to the people and brings them back? What about those that have rejected Hashem? Hashochekin es har kachi, and those that have forgotten my holy mountain. Ha'orcham agad shochan. And again, it describes the different religions that people did. They had certain forms of idolatry. And I mentioned that the idolatry that they had was particularly savage. you know, there was human sacrifices and there was immoral behavior. I think I've mentioned to you that one of the reasons that they destroyed the Indians and the South Americans, the Europeans, when they came here, was that the culture of the savages was so extreme that they couldn't believe they were human. Because, you know, the scalping and the... So they couldn't even believe that they were really humans. But it's not that the Indians were any worse than any of the other idolaters. It's just when you've been exposed to Judeo-Christian values, so to speak. In other words, when you've been exposed to Torah, the idea of being nice to one another, the caring for the handicapped and the sick and the poor, and the idea that you don't just randomly kill people and just because you feel like it, and the idea that it's not the strongest person that's right, that their morals and their values. Not every society had that, and when people adopt those kind of religions where they worship, now this word God here just is the name of one of the idols. They put a table there, Vashulchan, Malayim, Lamana, and they pour out liquids. And those people that even after everything still refuse to accept Hashem, they're going to reach the sword. Yan Karasi, why? Because Hashem gave them a chance. He called out to them, and they didn't answer. Dibarti, I spoke, they didn't hear. And they did what was bad in Hashem's eyes. And whatever I didn't want, that's what they want. It's almost like the opposite of what, you know, what Hashem would have wanted. So now, what will happen at that point in history? L'chein, therefore, Ko'amar Hashem, verse 13. Hashem, hinei abdi yochlu, my servants, those that serve me, guess what? Their stocks will do well. They'll be rich, they'll eat. V'atem, and you idol worshippers and people that want different than Hashem's values, teravu, you'll be starving. Hinei Abdi Yishtu, my servants, they'll drink. They'll have lots to drink. There'll be plenty for them to drink. Va'atem Tzitzamon, you'll be thirsty. Hine Abdi Yismuchu, my servants will rejoice. Va'atem Tevoshu, and you'll be embarrassed. Hine Abdi Yironu, they will have happy celebrations, mituvlev, because of in their heart they'll feel good. They'll feel satisfied. Va'atem Tzitzaku, and you, on the other hand, will cry out, Mikoyevlev, from a pained heart. Umeshava ruach, and a broken spirit, toyelu, you'll cry. So it's just these last two verses. It's like it draws like a strong parallel. Thus says the Lord, you know, my servant will eat and you will go hungry. My servant will drink and you will be thirsty. My servant will rejoice and you will be embarrassed. My servant will sing happy songs from a good heart and you will be pained from a broken heart. 15. V'naktem shimchem l'shvua l'bechiri. And people will swear by you. Swearing is not a good thing. In other words, swearing means like if somebody wants to say like a curse, they'll say, look what happened to so-and-so. In other words, people will swear by what will happen to these people. V'miska Hashem Elokim lavado yikra shem acher. And Hashem's servants, they'll be known by a good name, and they're a totally different fate will meet them. In other words, those people that are on the right side, that serve Hashem, their destiny will be different. Asher himisborach v'aretz yisborach. And those people that bless themselves in the land, I'm on verse 16. This verse is a little hard to figure out because the term used is not the way we use it. He says the following, a person that blesses themselves, and the God of Amen, and the person that swears in the God of Amen, it's describing a righteous people, person. So the question is, what does it mean, Amen? We're used to Amen is when we confirm a prayer. Some people here just say Amen means faith. Because the word Amen is short for emunah, like faith. And so what it means is a person that the faithful, those that bless, you know, that they follow they realize that the source of blessing is from Hashem, and they take oaths, they're committed to following in the path of Hashem. That's the way many of the commentators assume this word Amen. Because it's part of the prayer, it doesn't fit a pattern of prayer where someone is reciting a prayer and someone else is saying, yeah, I confirm. Unless it means that the confirmation is that this is what people consistently do. Now, what about all the bad times that have happened? So he says an interesting thing. Ki nishku etzaras, they'll be forgotten. They won't even remember him. I know someone that was studying anesthesiology, and they do different things to cure pain, but they also give them medication to make them forget. So they don't remember that they were in terrible pain. It doesn't sound good, but that's what they do. It's part of the science. In other words, they try to get rid of pain, but they also don't want them to remember it because the memory is painful. So what they do is they give them something that they don't remember what they were going through. And so many times people, you know, during the surgery in the early days, you know, they cried out and they called and you ask them afterwards, do you remember that? They have no idea. They don't remember anything. It's because some of the pain medication they had was designed deliberately that they shouldn't remember. Because if a person remembers, part of pain is the memory of the pain, is the fact that it reminds one of what went through, and a person is traumatized, but if he forgets it, it doesn't. I won't speak to that, but it was interesting to me when I heard this anesthesiologist was telling me that's one of the things that they study, is that if they can't get them to remove the pain, at least they can make sure they won't remember it. They won't remember a thing.
Like if a tree falls in the forest.
And nobody's there. That's right.
Did anybody hear it?
I felt bad because that poor person's in pain, and then afterwards he just doesn't remember it. Otherwise, he'd be furious. You know, how did they put him through this? You know, here Hashem says what happens is when a person has good things, there's no reason for them to remember the bad. The good overwhelms the bad, and so. Life has its difficulties, but once a person knows that in the end it's worth it, then the bad things recede in the background. So that's what Hashem is saying over here in verse 16. The original trial will still be forgotten. They're hidden away. 17. And life will take on new meaning. It'll be a much better existence. The Eretz Kadosha Lotus, and it'll be a new land. Lotus Gunarishonus. Well, don't remember the earlier times. Don't bother yourself with that. So there is a big debate. He's describing messianic times. There is a big debate whether it'll be miraculous or whether it'll work according to the regular ways that we know of. In other words, there's one idea that the Messiah will be a miraculous kind of miracle kind of person, and there's another view that he'll just be a great leader that people will follow will bring mankind to perfection, but not necessarily a miracle worker. Not necessarily that the world will change. That's the Rambam. He's always a rationalist. He always dealt with that. But things will change. I think what it means in a sense is that you won't see the suffering that you see. You won't see there'll be a clarity about the existence of Hashem. 18. Ki im sisu v'gilu, and people will really be able to be happy and rejoice adayad forever. Hashem nibor, because I am their creator. Ki hinei nibor es Yerushalayim. Hashem said, I will create Yerushalayim gila va'ama masos, and it'll be a place of rejoicing and happiness. 19. The gods of Yerushalayim, you'll rejoice there. V'sasta ba'ami, and I will rejoice in my people. V'lo yishma ba'od kol bechi v'kol zaka, and you won't hear any complaints. You won't hear any more crying. We're all waiting for that time. There's too much trouble in the world. You know, you won't hear that anymore. Now, here's a fascinating thing, and I just find the times we live in so interesting. People today are living longer than they used to live, even from when we grew up. You know, when we grew up, you met somebody who was 80 years old. Was like, today, that's no longer, that's not ancient history anymore. 90, you know, there are people there are a lot of people that are over 100. It's just people are living longer, Baruch Hashem. But it's predicted that in Messianic times, people will start to live longer. And that's exactly, it just gives us hope, because hopefully we're getting there. But that's what he says over here. He says that when they get towards that time, verse 20, Lo yia misham od o yami muzakin eshelo yimav, people won't die young. Ki anar ben mei Hashem, if somebody dies at 100, they'll say, oh, he was young. You know, he's a youngster, died at 100. And vachote ben mei Hashem yikulot, if somebody's a sinner and they died, they'll say that was a punishment that he died at 100. People will live longer than 100, you know, and so but like I said, it wasn't that long ago that you know, people were 70 were considered, you know, so maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I just don't consider that, you know, my parents are in like an assisted living facility. Mm-hmm. They have people in their hundreds that are walking around over there. So again, when people were living, in earlier times when there were wars and other things and it was diseases and people were unlikely to live past their 60s or their 70s, they'd say, wow, 100 is young. You talk to these people, you know, there are people that are, you know, thank God people are living longer. Verse 21, Abanabatim, and people will build houses. So yes, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you see building going on everywhere, but yes, you crumb him, and they'll build vineyards, they'll fulfill him, and they'll get to eat the fruits. The opposite of the curses. The curses were that people would work, and other people would enjoy the benefits of their work. Verse 22, lo yivne v'acher yeshev. They won't build, and someone else will get it. That wouldn't be right. V'lo yitu, they won't plant v'acher yocho, and they won't work in vain. Part of the history of the exile was we built up countries. In other words, when Jews, we were commanded to be good citizens of the countries we live in, and Jews are always patriotic. You know, Jews volunteered to fight in World War I in Germany more than any other nation in Germany. They were patriotic. They were Jews of German descent. They were Germans of Jewish descent. They were very patriotic. They loved the fatherland. They were Jews have always been loyal to their countries and tried very hard to. Sometimes they built these countries and then the countries got rid of them and kicked them out. So now Spain wants us back. They figured out they, but it's 500 years too late, but that's the, I don't know if you heard that. They realized that they had expelled their Jews, so now they made some, it's just interesting how, what would make them dream this up, that they inviting Jews back and they'll give them passports and if they, it's a publicity stunt because they wanted the Jews to travel there because they know it's a big tourist attraction. And Poland is the same thing. They, wealthy Jews come and they want to see where their parents, grandparents were buried and where they grew up and they spend money. And so they're trying to, make themselves an attraction. So we worked to build these countries and we didn't get to enjoy them, but the blessing will be that we'll be able to build and to settle and enjoy it. And he says, the days of a tree are like the days of my people. The people will outlive their handiwork. When you plant trees, it takes many years till you can enjoy the tree. You plant it and it doesn't grow for a long time. And over here, he says that not only will you enjoy them, you'll outlive the trees. 23. And part of this is interesting because there's a similar wording used in one of our prayers. Kilo yigalarik. One of the most frustrating things is to work for nothing, to put work and effort and toil in vain. And so the blessing will be that you won't work for nothing, for you won't work in vain. Or person tries to have a child and the child doesn't survive, or the child doesn't turn out the way he would like them to. So you won't give birth to things that'll be a waste. Kizera baruch Hashem hema. Because your children and your seed will be blessed of Hashem, that tzatzeim itam, and not only will they be there, you'll have their descendants as well. It's one of the most humbling tasks in life is being a parent. You know, you want your children to turn out a certain way, and as much as you do, there's free will, and they turn out the way they want to turn out. But the blessing will be that we won't toil in vain. One of the prime examples was Abraham tried very hard with it. He didn't have children until he was over 100. And he tried very hard with his nephew Lot. Mm-hmm. And what did Lot do? He went and moved to Sodom. He was always rescuing his nephew. And he put so much effort into him that he should turn out right. And he didn't see any blessing from it. Not only that, Lot did incest. He had his daughter, he married his daughters and had children through his daughters, and this was like very embarrassing for Abraham to have a nephew. This was Lot, his nephew, and everything that he put into him, he didn't see any blessing from it. We have a tradition that several generations later, Rus, who was the grandmother of King David, came out of Lot's descendants. She was from Moab. And there's an idea that, whatever effort you put to do the right thing doesn't go to waste. The effort that he put in that somebody from Lot should turn out okay, eventually it came out in Lot's descendant Rus, Rus Hamoaviah. And that's the blessing that we'll have, you know, people should merit to have children that are blessings and grandchildren. And this, it says same implies even great-grandchildren, because it says that, you know, and they're descendants. The daughters didn't do it, they weren't sinful. It was more on Lot that it was sinful. But the concept, though, is the work that Abraham put into it didn't go in vain. In other words, you work to, people put work into their children, into other people's children, into people, and you don't see any results. Hashem says that, no, it won't, a person that, when, in messianic times, we won't toil in vain. Now, sometimes we need something, and we call, and we don't get any answer. Here it says, at that time, before you call, I'll be there. Even before you call, I'm ready with the answer. Wouldn't that be great? You know, like you call for, you don't even have to call for room service. It's there, right? Oh, hey, Medabrin, you still haven't even put in your request. Ani Eshma, I already heard it. I'm already, Hashem, will, the times will be such that Hashem will be providing for our needs. Sometimes a person has to have a really bad need before they ask. Hashem says, I'm going to give it to you before you need to ask. You won't even need to ask for it. That's how good it's going to be. Now, what about the hostility that's in the world between different peoples? So, there's certain natural hostilities between, and you can't, you know, it's part of nature. So Hashem says that's going to go away too. Zev etla yirui, the wolf and the sheep, they somehow never got along. You know, the wolf just, there are certain predators out there that are just always going to make trouble. So he says, Zev, today we use that as a name, as the Zev, you know, but Zev u'tva yiru ka'echad. You won't have to separate them anymore. They'll all pasture nicely. V'aryeh, and the lion, which is, the lion is a meat eater. It's going to be out there with the cows. Yochel tevin, and instead of eating animals, it's going to eat straw. V'nachash afer lachmo. Now, the snake, it's interesting. It's not so clear why it mentioned the snake eats the dirt. Maybe it means it won't harm people, just like the lion won't harm people. You know, snakes usually swallow like rodents and things. They swallow mice and they swallow. But in messianic times, people will not need to be predators anymore. They won't need to harm other people. For whatever reason, we live in a world where there exist people that need to be bullies and need to be predators and need to attack others. Part of the messianic times will be that the wolf isn't going to attack the lamb, the lion's going to be vegetarian, the snake's going to eat the dust. Below year, below yeshkisu, and it's not going to bother anybody. The kol har kachi, all of my holy mountain. Now, what's the holy mountain? Usually, the holy mountain means the Temple Mount, but people say the holy mountain here means the whole Israel. The word mountain just means that a person is trying to go higher and higher. That's the elevated part. And this is what Hashem says. Okay. Well, we will stop here. This is at 66. We got the last chapter. And this is actually the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. So it might sound somewhat familiar.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.